word on my heart this morning. Let me get started.
I was here to thank God for speaking. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my Lord, my Savior.
Yes.
Thank you for always being with me.
Yeah.
You serve a mighty God. We just live in a day that's getting a little bit scary. And you look out in all the world and all that's going on, but you know, He's still got everything under control. And He's going to take care of His children.
Yes.
And He's going to come back and get us one day.
Yeah.
What a hope we have to be with Him one day in glory and bow at His feet.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming as a lowly baby and being killed on that cross, shed that blood for me that nobody else can do. We got a lot to thank it for. We got a lot to look forward to. We've got a hope in heaven that's never going to break His promises. He's always going to keep His word. We just got to keep our eyes on Him. I'm thankful that we can look to Him and not to this old world. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we serve. I just can't thank Him enough for all He's done for me.
Amen.
Loving me and saving me. This has been an awful year for so many families. A year where you just can't understand. But God's, as Deborah said, God's got it all in control. And I mean, there's just been so many things happen. But God has been good to us, and He's still in control. And no matter what's happening, and how low you may get, God is still in control. He's never took us to a place that His grace was already there. I'm so thankful that when you think you've come to the end, how much worse can it be? I don't know, but I know that I'm the clay, and I know He's the potter. He ain't gonna put no more on me that I can stand. And I just want to thank You for coming as a lovely King to die for me, to make my plan of salvation. Lord, I'm not even worthy of it, but I'm so thankful that He come by to save my soul, give me a hope beyond this life. If the better one to come, I don't know when it'll come, and this world's in such a mess. Only way I see is Him coming and taking care of all the problems of the world. It's not just here in the United States. It's all over the world. The people are died. And so many things are happening. But I'm glad that He's still in control. That's the thing that we have to keep our eyes on, is on Him. Because He is going to take care of the problem in His time and in His way. We just have to trust Him with it. So pray for us this year that we'll be the light that we need to be in this dark world. And I'll pray for y'all.
Thank you.
But I understand it. Thank the Lord for saving you. So I thank you for what He's done for me this year. I had to trust in Him this year. And sometimes when you get down, you don't want to trust. But God, He's still working. I don't know how to thank Him for all He's done for me. But I want to thank the church family for what they've done for me. I want prayer.
sitting there before church, and they're playing that song, Hallelujah. And then they're playing How Great Thou Art. Church, you don't know how unworthy we really are. I've not got the okay to preach what I've got yet. Until I get that one, hold on, wait. Let us say a word of prayer.
Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we thank the Lord for giving us mercy. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to stay together in the house. Lord, we worship and honor your name. Lord, we hear testimonies and sing of God, Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, we want to thank you that you've got this all under control, Lord. Lord, not to sneak it up on you or taking you by surprise this morning, Lord. We just want to thank you for that. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being all knowing and all powerful, Lord. But thank you for taking the time to love us and to save us and to die for us, Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, again for our opportunity to be here. Lord, we ask you now to just continue to bless and help in this service. And just take what's said and done, Lord, for your honor, for your glory. Lord, you open our hearts, thus saith the Lord. Lord, you be with all those who seek and suffer today, Lord. Lord, you know all those on the prayer list. Lord, you just keep your hand on this church, Lord. You bless and help it. Lord, you touch Adam. You lead him on how to lead this service, Lord. What to do, Lord. Lord, you just continue to bless and help. And everything is said and done today, Lord. We're wired over the head and heart and say, Jesus, turn it off. Amen.
Anybody else got anything on their heart? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 19. If you find your place, I'll invite you to stand. There is the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 19. Beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before him, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide in thine house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest of the man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to you, Lord God, thanking you for your mercy, your grace, and your blessings upon our life, Lord. Thank you most of all for the cross of Calvary, Lord, for dying for us, for saving us when we was unworthy and undeserving of it, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you'd have your will and way in the service today, Lord. I pray that you'd touch each and every heart, help us to be sensitive, Lord God, unto you, and move the way that you'd have us to ever bring honor and glory to your name. Help us to say what needs to be said, Lord, that you put on our heart, and get out of the way and let you work, and we'll thank you and praise you for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we do pray. We look at this passage in Luke chapter 19, and it's a familiar scripture to everybody, something that you've heard from Sunday school and you probably heard preached 100 times. And as we look at this, we see it's a picture of salvation to somebody that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and how the Lord would go out of his way to take one and to draw them and to save them before it's too late. And we look at how the service has been going, and everybody's talking about a world of trouble that's going to be over one day when we get to life's other side. But to get to that other side where it's going to be peaceful and joyful and worship's going to take place, first there's got to be a place of salvation come into a heart and into a life. As we get to verse number 1 of chapter number 19, it says Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. A simple verse, really doesn't mean much unless you think about Jericho. Jericho was a place that was destroyed by God, and it was said to be cursed to the one that would build it back. This was a place that had said to be cursed, and our Lord's passing through it. Same for you and I. We're sin cursed in this life. If we're born in flesh, which every one of us are, we're headed to hell unless we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But just verse number 1 lets us know that He will appear in our heart and life. There is nothing too low and too filthy to keep Him from convicting our heart and our life to show us that we was lost. But what we see in verse number 1 is that Jesus is headed to Bethany. When Lazarus had died and He goes to Bethany to raise Lazarus back up, that's where Jesus is headed. But in the midst of something that seems so important to everybody at that time, and even in John it would say that Jesus Himself had wept when the news come unto Him, He still stopped off to save one lost soul. And the same would go for you and I. There's nothing our Lord wouldn't do to convict and save us. But we got to be willing to accept that sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. Verse number 2, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." We see that the filthiness that he's classified as in verse number 2. We see that he was said to be a publican. That was a Jew that had went against the Jewish people by working for a Roman Empire and collecting taxes. But it says that he was a chief among men. Everything that they're saying about Zacchaeus here is he is filthy to the core. There's nothing good about him. There's no hope for him. There's nothing within Zacchaeus that could get him into the presence of the Lord that would make him look justified in the eyes of God. I look at my life, and you can look at your life, and you think, you know, why in the world would the Lord stoop down and save somebody like me? I mean, the times before, I don't know that I was as bad because I was younger. But you think about just what I've done after I've been saved, and you think, why in the Lord would the Lord extend that mercy and grace unto me? That's the desire of his heart. That was the whole reason for the season we just come out of. That was the reason for him being born down here. It was to go to the cross of Calvary to cover my filth and my sins so that I could come to know him as Savior and Lord. But it says that not only was he a publican, but it said he was rich. It's referring to somebody that's underhanded, somebody that's taking what ain't theirs. They're talking about him being the worst of the worst. I want to tell you, there's nothing that I could do that would have kept the Lord's blood from covering my sins. I want to tell you, He covers it all. He covered the past. He covered the present. He's covered every future sin that's going to be. That's what salvation has done for you and I. But right here we see in verse number 3 that it says that he sought Jesus. The Lord was already convicting the heart of Zacchaeus, I believe, When we get to these verses, I believe it's a picture of the conviction of the Lord and the drawing of the Lord and the saving of the Lord. I believe that's what it is. And we get down here to verse number 3, and it says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. He had heard about the Lord, and he knew that there was something special about him. And he knew that there was something inside of him that was missing. And Zacchaeus here, he's hunting what's void inside of his heart and inside of his life. No, that void's never going to be filled. Not one bit until the Lord moves inside of your heart and inside of your life. I want to tell you, if I had not have been saved, I wouldn't know what peace is. I wouldn't know what joy is. But since salvation, it's like there's a bucket sitting over top of me with a hole in the bottom. And mercy and grace and blessings is dripping out every day. And that's what salvation is to you and I. But it means a better day coming for you and I. But we see that as Zacchaeus was drew to the Lord in conviction, that he had to make an effort to get there. I tell you, the Lord can touch and the Lord can draw, but if you never accept Him as Savior and Lord, nothing's ever going to become of it. There are people that have sat on church pews and have refused God and His drawing power over and over and over again. And it don't matter how many times they darken the door of the house of God, they're still going to die and go to hell because they've never made the effort to accept Him as Savior and Lord. But it says that in verse number 4, the first part of 4, it says He ran before. Zacchaeus knew that there was an urgency here. He knew that something was going on in his heart that he couldn't handle. And he's making an effort to hurry and get to where Jesus can see him and to where he could see the Lord. I was young. I was 7 years old when the Lord saved me. And at that point in my life, I knew that if I didn't accept Him, I felt like if I took my last breath here, then my next breath was going to be in hell, even at that point. The likelihood of a 7-year-old dying, it don't happen much. But in my heart, that may have been the only opportunity that I ever had to accept Him as Savior and Lord. And you and I, as Christians, need to be careful about hindering things inside of the house of God, because we never know when God's going to move in a convicted heart. And I want to tell you, if God's a drawing and God's a convicting and God's a touching somebody's heart, now's the time of salvation. It ain't down the road when you get comfortable and you're ready to give it up to Him. But now is. There was a sense of urgency there. I want to tell you, I'm not promised my next breath. You're not promised your next breath. We could die on a car wreck on the way home from the house of God and never get another opportunity. That chance could be gone. But we see there's an urgency about Zacchaeus here. He's climbing up in a tree. He knows he needs to get to the Lord. He knows he needs to lay his life down before the Lord. He knows there's something missing out of his heart and his life. As he goes on down in verse number 5, he says, "And when Jesus came to the place, He looked and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide in thy house." When the Lord's talking about thy house, I'm not looking at a physical picture of this. It's all a spiritual picture to me. He's talking about the indwelling of their heart and his life right here. So verse number 5, he's telling him to come down and make haste, to get things made right so that they can enter into the house. He said, "My mercy and my grace is not going to tarry forever. Now is the appointed time. Now is the time that you're going to accept me into your house, or it's going to be too late. This may be the last opportunity that you'll ever have." I don't know if he would have ever been given another opportunity to accept the Lord beyond this point. But the Lord says, "Make haste and come down." He said, "Surrender your life unto me." He said, "You need to hurry and do it." I want to tell you, my life may have ended if I'd have refused the Lord, and it may have been over with, no more chances. The Lord may have took me out, or He may have left me down here. But since salvation's coming to my life, I've not been perfect by no means, but there's been a joy about it and serving Him ever since. No matter what comes into my life, it may seem like it's turning my world upside down, and even the world that we live in, we're facing things that we don't know about, but there's still a peace there because of that salvation. That's why the Lord come. He wasn't to make a name for Himself down here in this walk of life, but it was to save us so that we could get to life's other side. In verse number 6, it says, and He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. Verse number 6, I believe salvation took place in the heart of Zacchaeus. He says that He made haste. He didn't delay. He didn't want to do it on His time schedule. A lot of people nowadays, I'll get this done in my life and I'll achieve these things, and then once everything's set aside, I'm going to turn my life unto the Lord and I'll live for Him. Why are you putting it off? What's the purpose of putting it off? You know, it may be that you never achieve those things, and it may be that you never get the chance to give your life to the Lord later. I want to tell you, He's in the same business of when He's drawing. Not on your time schedule. When He touches your heart and says, now's the time, that's the time to accept Him. And if you don't, then it may be too late. There's only one thing that you and I are going to have to decide in this life, and it's going to matter when we close our eyes here and open our eyes somewhere else. Are we going to be in heaven or are we going to be in hell? There's nothing in between. And sad part about it, there's going to be a lot more open our eyes in hell. And the world that we live in is going to open their eyes in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. People are sitting on church pews and think they're good enough to make it. But they've not got the blood of Christ applied to their heart and their life. It says in verse number 6, the latter part, it says He received Him joyfully. There was no regrets in His heart. You look in verse number 8, and there's a lifestyle change in verse number 8. You know, all that money that he did have in verse number 2, it's gone in verse number 8. He's given it all up. But it says it's joyful. He's not worried about this life. He's not worried about the world around him. He's not worried about the riches he's achieving. He's just happy that the Lord has indwelled his heart. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You take everything else out of the picture. You know, when we die and we're standing before God, which everybody's going to do one of these days, it's not going to be about your job. It's not going to be about your vehicle. It's not going to be about your house. It's not going to be about your clothes. It's not even going to be about this church. But it's going to be about the condition of your heart. Are you saved and going to spend time with Him? Or are you lost and going to be cast into the lake of fire? That's all that's going to matter when we get to life's other side. Verse number 7. It says, and when they saw it, they murmured, saying, he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You're right here. These are people that did not like what was going on, did not agree with what was going on. These are the people that open their mouth and talk when they shouldn't be talking. But I guarantee you one thing. Inside the house of God, inside this church, you're not going to have it. There's nobody going to run you down for coming to accept Him. There's nobody going to say nothing out of the way. It don't matter what's went on, what you professed, what you thought, what you said. All that matters is what happens from here on out. That's all that matters. Verse number 9. It says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he is the son of Abraham, and for the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. Right here it lets us know the only purpose of that manger, so that he could get to the cross of Calvary for you, for me. He would have done it if it was just for me. Everybody else wouldn't have applied, it would have still been for me. The same applies to you. He would have come and died just for you. If it was nobody else in here, just for you. Verse number 8, the latter part of it, he's talking about how he's going to give all these things and how he's going to do good because his heart's changed. That's not a bargaining chip. He's not bargaining with God. That's the effects of what's taking place from salvation. You'll not bargain yourself into heaven. It don't matter how good you've been, how smooth you can talk, or what you can do. You'll still be in hell if he doesn't do a work inside of your heart and your life. Complete the verse invitation. I know it ain't long, but that's what's on my heart. I believe the Lord may be dealing with somebody, whether it's here inside the house of God or whether it's somebody that's going to hear it through the internet or the radio or whatever it may be. The Lord's dealing with somebody. Don't put him off. It's getting close to him coming back. He could step back and this thing's over with, and if he's dealt with your heart, it's going to be hell, not heaven, if you refuse him.